You mean this isn't about me?
I know podcasting is our love.
And what is probably the world's largest rat with no fear of humans?
Karl Rove. And I'm Max.
And this is episode 118 of the award-winning CSA Podcast of Record. Today is Monday, December 20th, 2009. And Max, that's going to be the last time I say that.
That it's December 20th, 2009?
Well, that it's 2009, because the next time we record, I think it might be 2010.
We might get another end-of-the-year episode, yeah.
Maybe. But I'm just satisfied with the term 2009, 2010.
You gonna go with the 20s?
I'm going with the 20s. I decided. I read it in a blog. I know you've told me probably a dozen times that I should be doing that. But I read it in a blog, and the guy made perfect sense, and that was probably the problem. Basically, what he said was that we remember all our years in a specific format. What year did Columbus discover America?
1492.
Declaration of Independence, 1776.
Right.
Pearl Harbor,
1941. Right.
So, of course, 2000 should be 2001, 2002, 2009.
It's the odds that get people.
Right, and that's exactly what he said. He said that saying 2001, 2002 is like counting pennies. And he said that's ridiculous.
Well, I knew. I mean, I had this discussion, like I said so many times, with Brian years ago. People, he said, would say 2000 for the first 10 years.
Right.
And when it got to 2010, they'd say 2010.
Well, he is a prophet.
Brian is genius.
Uh-huh.
Except on those things where he doesn't have a clue.
You know who else would have said that, told us that?
Jerry Denali. Cornell? Denali.
No, Denali. Denali would have told us that.
Which is fortunate because we're going to have Denali on the show here.
That's right. And that was a nice segue.
It was beautiful how you just gracefully moved us into introducing the fact that Denali's going to be on this show.
Well, let's call him up. I'm anxious to talk to them.
So we're going to bring in Denali before we clean up these jokes from the last show?
No. Hey, whatever you want to do. Go with the clean up the jokes first.
All right. Well, as you heard on the last show, I had a whole bunch of other jokes prepared. For our, what was the term?
Politically incorrect humor.
Improper humor show, yeah. So here we go, real quick. One golfer tells another, "Hey, guess what? I got a set of golf clubs for my wife." The other replies, "Great, good trade."
That's a non-Tiger Wood based.
Non-Tiger Wood, yeah. You were waiting for Tiger, and it didn't happen.
I was. I was waiting for.
Why is a laundromat a really bad place to pick up a woman?
I don't know why.
Because a woman who can't afford a washing machine will never be able to support you.
Oh. There's a dishwasher joke there, too, I'm sure.
I date this girl for 2 years, and then the nagging starts. I want to know your name. This one may be my favorite. It's a young lady out strolling in the country hillside, and she sees a little man. "You're a goblin," she says. "I caught you, and you owe me 3 wishes. So the goblin replies, "Okay, you caught me fair and square. What's your first wish?" The woman stops and thinks for a second. "I want a huge mansion to live in." Goblin replies, "Okay, you got it." Woman thinks it over. "My second wish is a Mercedes." Goblin says, "You got that too." "My last wish is $1 million. Goblin then says, "Okay, but you've got to do one thing for me. You've got to have sex with me all night." "Okay, then, whatever it takes," says the girl, the woman. Next morning, the little man wakes the woman up. He says, "Tell me, how old are you?" "I'm 27, she replies. "Shit," he says, "and you still believe in goblins?" All right. A New Zealander walking along the road with a sheep under each arm. He meets another New Zealander, and he says, "You shearing, mate?" And the first guy replies, "No, they're all mine."
Oh, man.
Yeah, see, I told you I had a lot of them.
You were right. You do have a lot of them.
All right. I'm gonna do this a long one, but I'm going to do it real quick. Man is driving along a motorway with his wife in the passenger seat. During the drive, the wife gets an idea, and she starts taking off her clothes. The guy is shocked but aroused. She gets her shoes, socks, etc., and throws them out the window. The guy is laughing and leering at her, takes her underwear off, and throws it out the window. And she takes all her clothes off. He loses control of the car, and he crashes into a barrier. And he gets pinned under the driver's side. Says, "You got to go get me some help." The wife says, "But I have no clothes on. What'll I do?" And he says, "Well, take my shoe, and you can cover yourself with my shoe." So she runs off down the road, holding the shoe in front of her crotch. She gets out of the car and runs down the road. And a few hundred yards of yelling and running,
a truck driver
notices her, and the hysterical woman holding his shoes pulls him over. "What seems to be the trouble?" he asks. "Help me," she screams. "My husband is stuck." "If he's stuck that far, I'm afraid I can't help you." You knew that one, huh?
I could see that one coming about
a mile away.
I looked up a whole bunch of great quotes for the year 2009, and maybe on our next show we can talk about them.
All right.
A couple of classics in there.
Well, I'm excited to hear about them, and I can't wait to do the next show. Let's see. We're calling Denali right now.
Hello.
Hey, there he is.
There he is.
Hey, Denali. I don't know if you were aware of this, but we did an inappropriate humor show with Manhattan Mad recently.
Why would you think I was not aware? And why would you think that I would be surprised that you did inappropriate humor?
That's a double touche.
Yes.
Indeed. I like that, though.
The touches.
To be doubly touched.
Have you ever been doubly touched, Denali?
I have.
I don't know why I asked that. I don't think I want
to. I do.
So we just have a couple of inappropriate jokes left from the last show, and then we'll get into the Denali show.
Oh, that's fine.
How can you tell when a woman's having a bad day?
The sun came up, I
suppose. She has her tampon behind her ear, and she can't find her cigarette.
It's all about insertion for you, isn't it?
And it's not for you?
Not necessarily.
John and Scott have a quote. John loves to play quotes on their Total Talk Nonsense show. And he's got one that drives me nuts. I don't know who it is that says it, but he's talking about gay men, and there's apparently an act called docking. And he has this quote where these guys go, "Docking? Who docks?" Anyway, and he just plays it all the time, and I'm like, "Yeah, I don't want to go there." But anyway,
but you did.
But I did, yes. And
you find that funny?
No, I find it discomforting.
I see. That's why you bring it up and chuckle. Okay.
All right. Yes, Denali, I'm secretly gay. Which. Reminds
well, you know, when he has his foot on your throat, he does not take it off.
Why don't blind men skydive? Why don't blind men skydive? Because it scares the shit out of the dog.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's cute.
What do you call a gay dinosaur?
Does he have to do this? Does he always have to?
Well, that's his way of getting back at you for putting your foot on his throat and pressing until his larynx is crunched. He tells inappropriate gay jokes.
Yes. This is the tail end of the inappropriate humor episode.
The tail end. Okay. Lovely.
Get it?
Exactly.
Yeah, I didn't. That's a little unintended humor. Megasaurus
I have a friend who would find that funny, sort of. Kind of. I did not.
What do you call a lesbian dinosaur? A lickalotopus?
I have another friend who would like that.
And here's my other favorite one. This guy walks into his bedroom with a duck under his arm, and his wife is laying on the bed reading. "This is the pig I'm fucking," he announces. "Dearest, that's a duck," she says. "Yeah, I was talking to the duck," he says.
"I wasn't talking to you." That's good.
All right.
You know the story about the guy who he's at the bar having a beer, and the guy next to him has a frog on the bar?
I don't think I know that one.
The guy with the frog says, "I'll sell him to you. You want this frog? $300." And the first guy says, "You got to be kidding me. Why?" So the frog owner snaps his fingers, and the frog hops down, unzips the guy's zip, and gives him the best head he's ever had in his life. And when he finishes, he puts the frog back on the bar, and he says, "See, I told you you want him." And the guy immediately ponies up the $300 and heads home.
No pun intended.
Exactly. So he sits down at the kitchen table with his wife, and she says, "What's with the frog?" And he says, "Watch this." So he snaps his fingers, and the frog takes care of business. And he puts the frog back up on the kitchen table and smiles at his wife. And his wife says, "Yeah, so?" And he says, "Pack your bags and get the fuck out."
All right.
So much for inappropriate humor.
Yeah, I think that qualifies. One of us is moving our headset, and we've determined.
Yeah, I apologize. That's okay. I'm working with new hardware, as it were. Yeah.
So to speak.
Thus spaketh the frog. All right. From the world of dumb, not so dumb, under the category of circular reasoning, surprisingly, the recession otherwise felt in the Phoenix area this year has spared, forgive me, one profession, psychics. An October Arizona Republic report found that while longtime clients tended to reduce their use of astrology and related fields, their business was replaced by a new class of customers desperate to know the future, those facing financial ruin because of bad home mortgages. Few, wrote the reporter, seemed to sense the irony of purchasing questionable psychic services to overcome the consequences of questionable mortgage decisions.
Well, you know, we didn't have to get the Arizona Republican to tell us that. Denali could have told us that a long time ago. I'm sure his business is way up.
Hey, did you make a lot of money during the recession? Because there was money to be made, Denali.
I'm sorry, you'll have to repeat the question. I'm on southwest.com looking for tickets for Phoenix.
There's a sucker born every minute. They're all gravitating to the southwest.
I cannot share that optimism in my recent business dealings, I'm sorry to say.
I have to apprise you of...
That people have to have disposable income in order to take advantage of services like mine, and that's at a low.
Yeah, there's not a lot of disposable income this last year, which we're going to get to our year-end episode probably in the next episode. But I do know my genius friend Brian had a feeling that the stock market was about to tank at the beginning of last year, at the beginning of 08, and got out and held on to all of his money when all this disaster happened. Once again, Brian was ahead of his time.
Where did he put it?
You know, I didn't ask him that question. I was sitting here thinking, if I had any money, would I have been smart enough to get out and completely forgot about asking the question?
Well, according to Glenn Beck, you should have put it in gold.
Well, yeah. Glenn Beck and all the other prescient geniuses on television.
Just a little sneak peek. Gold is not going down next year either. It's not going to climb with the rapidity that we've seen, but...
But it's still going up? Over $1,000 an ounce?
Over $1,200.
Over $1,200. Wow.
Pretty amazing, huh?
Yeah, because I remember years ago when it was like $200, $300 an ounce.
Sure.
But it's just generally it's a bad sign for the world when gold is you know quadruple what it typically rides at, because it means everybody's scared out of their mind, and that's not a good way to run a world economy.
Just a little side note off the topic. When all that stuff hit the fan about Fox News and those guys yelling buy gold, and you find out that they were actually representatives for gold companies.
Right.
Senior Vice President of Development for Fox News came out with a statement and said that they were going to be looking into it.
Yeah.
And his name is one of the classic eponyms of all times.
Oh, yeah. What's that?
Joel Cheatwood.
You could could go a couple of directions with that.
Yeah,
I have another story here. The birth of two chicks on the same day at the Jerusalem, these are vulture chicks, at the Jerusalem Biblical School in April was unusual, but especially noteworthy because of the bird's lineage. Their fathers were a gay vulture couple about 10 years ago. According to a report...
Imagine that, gay vultures.
Before this, I had never considered gay vultures. I beg forgiveness for having been ignorant of the world, but according to a report in his Israeli Daily Haaretz, and zoo caretakers provided them with an artificial egg to incubate until they could replace the egg with a just-hatched vulture, as if the male-male couple had birthed it. In an insane coincidence, said zoo officials, the two males eventually separated and paired with females, and those females hatched eggs on the same day last April. 2 weeks ago, according to Haaretz, the two chicks achieved independence on the same day and were moved to the zoo's aviary.
Huh.
That's just sort of a huh kind of a story.
Yeah, well, you know what? Interestingly enough,
yeah.
Did you know that in the whole field of animal husbandry or whatever, that there are lots of those examples? As a matter of fact, penguins.
Is that right?
Yes, penguins. If the male is watching the egg while the female goes off to feed and she dies and doesn't come back,
yeah,
the male will attach itself to another male.
Huh.
And the two of them will raise the penguin chick.
Probably because it's just pragmatic. You need two penguins to raise an egg because it's so fucking cold. I've seen enough of that movie.
Right. Well, it's the penguin's take on it takes a village. It takes some penguins.
penguin. I think that's pretty interesting. The poor bastards stand there and you know, you gotta wonder if they had a GPS, if they couldn't think, you know.
If they couldn't camp closer to the water, you know.
Just go to Australia.
Like the old Sam Kittison line.
Right.
It's a fucking desert. It's a freaking iceberg, you.
Go to Australia. They like penguins, you know. They'll feed you. Give you some fish.
Do you know what those penguins that stayed with the chick are?
No, what are they?
What are they?
They're fabulous penguins.
They are indeed. Let me see. I got one more story here. Among the species discovered recently in Papua New Guinea were tiny bear-like creatures, frogs with fangs, fish that grunt, kangaroos that live in trees, and what is probably the world's largest rat with no fear of humans.
Karl Rove.
He moved into Washington. Scientists from Britain, the United States, and Papua New Guinea announced the findings in September. Among more than 40 new species from a jungle habitat to a half mile deep inside the centuries dormant Mount Bosavi volcanic crater. That's just, by the way, oh, what's new in Papua New Guinea. No joke at the end of that. So, that's what I got. I have now run through my rest of the inappropriate humor jokes and got my Papua New Guinea references in there, which I don't think we have enough Papua New Guinea references.
We probably don't. We probably don't.
You shared really good stuff there. Thank you.
I got one of interest, I think.
All right.
And mainly because we all work, the three of us, I know podcasting is our love, but we all have jobs to support ourselves and all work in office environments. So I was looking – right after that show that we did where we talked about those stupid phrases and oxymorons and things that didn't fit together.
Oh, yeah.
I came across a thing that talked about the 10 worst phrases to use in offices.
Oh, yeah?
And I was going to throw them out there and just see how many times either you've used them or have heard them used in your office or your place of employment.
Cool.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Number one, pick your brain.
Oh, yeah.
I hear it all the time.
Throw it against the wall and see what sticks?
Not so often, but I have.
I actually use that one.
Do you? I've said that myself once or twice. How about sweat equity?
I don't use that one.
I've read it. I've never heard it, spoken in a professional environment, no.
Yeah, right. It's not rocket science.
Oh, I hear it every day.
Well, yes, and our CSA favorite, it's not rocket surgery.
Right, it's not rocket surgery, right? The ball's in your court.
I don't like that one.
I've heard that one a lot.
Yeah.
We didn't ask if you like it.
Well, all right, therefore I don't use it.
Okay.
Well, okay, but again, aren't we asking
if you've ever heard if
it gets used where you work?
All right, yep. You mean this isn't about me? This is not centered on myself?
Hard to believe. But
no, that one's not used around my office either.
All right, how about drill down?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So
that's one I've never heard used in my employment.
Oh, okay.
Because you don't.
I guess.
Because you're the answer. The right. Buck stops with you.
I guess so.
Now, drill down, and it's complement alignment. We need to align with this strategy. We need alignment from everybody.
I got it. All right. And then he ends with three from the Office of Redundancy Office. Okay. I personally.
Yes, which is
one.
I personally think that's one of my favorites.
Right. Quite unique. along with his compatriots, very unique, really unique, most unique.
And like we said in a recent episode, very normal.
Right. Right.
Always remember you're unique, just like everyone else.
That's right? Yep.
Past history.
Oh, I hate that one.
Yep. And then finally, the most overused phrase in the business context, he said, is the word urgent. And it's frequent companion crisis.
I would like to throw out. Synergy as
oh god,
that's a good one.
Yeah, there's a few business terms and we hear them quite a lot. I'm trying to think of others besides alignment. Synergy is certainly one of them. There is a game some people play called business language bingo.
Yes, I've heard that and seen the scorecards for that. Yes,
and I've been in meetings, particularly. We get a department meeting once a month where we get the download of what's going on from the higher-ups.
Right.
And there's so much of that business bullshit language that the real challenge is not to get bingo, but to actually stay awake.
A couple others that he mentions as possibilities are thinking outside the box.
Oh, yeah, that's way over.
Which is a common cliche one. And blue sky thinking, which I think is probably about the same thing.
You know, I've never heard that one.
Really?
Blue sky thinking? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody, let's just think blue sky.
Yeah.
I think that what it's come to mean is if you didn't have a budget or if you didn't have a restrictive budget, what would you think? What would you do? Because people get to the point where they have good ideas and immediately dismiss them by themselves because they say they'll never spend the money to do that.
Mm.
So
we do get
the sky, and then
yeah, we do get wish list. What would be on your wish list? I guess maybe.
Well, in some ways, it's probably the same. That's the same thought.
I think.
Process. Yeah.
Just maybe there's a little internal subculture within organizations. Some business phrases are are universal, and some of them are more ordained, organic, whatever the term is I want, to that particular unit. The one, and this is a very technical term, but we get it quite a bit, and I'm sure you've all heard it, EBIT.
EBIT.
Yeah, and EBITDA.
No, nope.
No?
No, I'm not familiar with those at all.
Earnings before interest and taxes.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But you work in a not-for-profit, so.
Right, so that, it's a little different, yeah.
You've encountered EBIT, Denali, or have you not?
I have.
Do you get EBIT, or do you just imagine it?
The conversations that I usually have are either a rung below or just not a part of that discussion.
Do you get aligned a lot?
I do a lot of tactical as opposed to strategic.
Strategic, you're right.
So I'm forced to strike while the iron is hot with the iron at hand.
And there, of course, is another one of those terms, striking while the iron's hot.
That's right.
Right.
But, yeah, we do. Once a month, we get a strategic analysis of where we are. And the big one, the one that bugs me, is alignment. We've got to get aligned. We've got to align ourselves with the corporate strategy.
There's another good one, the corporate strategy, sure. Yeah. Sure. In ours, because I work for a nonprofit, we don't have a corporate strategy. We have a mission statement.
That's one, sure.
And we, you know, we don't do things that are not part of our mission statement.
We actually sometimes have to create a mission statement to start a project.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
I don't know that I feel that that's necessary.
Well, somebody does. Well, listen, our time is just about up, I'm sure.
Well, let me see where we are.
By my calculation.
Yeah, we're right there.
We're right around there. So I'm going to go out, or let us leave, on a note, okay? Super Freakonomics, the new book by Dubner, is out, and it's gotten, of course, excellent reviews. And one of the questions that he poses in that, and he reiterated on his blog in the New York Times, was he spent a lot of time talking about prostitution in Super Freakonomics. Gee, I wonder why. Tiger. Spitzer, I mean, you know, all these guys. Anyway, he said that the interesting thing about prostitution is that it's one of those goods or services that when it's undertaken for free by consenting adults is legal, but becomes illegal when money changes hands.
Well, and it's not asked, prostitution if you do it for free.
Right, right. Well, it could. So his question was to see what other products or services you could come up with that would fall under that same guise. He named three that he got, and I thought they were really interesting.
That are illegal if you pay for them, but legal if you do them for free.
For free, right. So the first one that was suggested to him was human organs. It's absolutely okay for you to
give your brother your kidney.
Right, but you can't sell it.
What if you sold your brother your kidney?
You can't sell it, technically.
Not even to your brother?
I don't think so. That's trafficking in human organs, and I believe that's illegal in all 50 states.
What if you gave your really special frog?
Mississippi. the second one was children. You can adopt a child, but you can't sell one.
Right, right. Although there are monies available to facilitate the transaction.
Right, but you're not paying for the baby. And we see all those dumb, not so dumb all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Woman trades a baby for a pack of cigarettes, a couple of scratch tickets, and and a couple of gallons of gas. You know, I didn't like that kid anyway, she said. And then the third one, which he said was his favorite, was political favors.
We had a very interesting trial in New York just this last month.
I believe that's what he was referring to.
And I may never remember the exact term, but the former leader of the New York State Senate was charged with not providing full faith and services, was theft of real value or something like that, was what he was charged with and convicted of.
Wow. Wow.
That basically they said that he didn't try his hardest and was convicted on something akin to bribery.
Huh.
For something along the lines of theft of services. I wish I could remember the exact name now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, sure, politics. Yeah, if I build a road in front of your house, that's okay.
Right.
But if you give me $300,000 to repave your street,
right,
that's not okay.
That's not okay.
Ah, that's very interesting.
So that's
Penguin, what about this? I know we're late. I'll be real quick. What about if I say to you, I'll bet you $5 the Cowboys beat the Eagles Sunday, and that's between you and I.
Well, it's
that's
gambling.
But if I turn
in the circle sheet at the bar to the bagman, that's illegal.
Right. Well, I mean, what about all those March Madness pools?
Right. They're all illegal. They're all illegal. The massive hypocrisy of it all is that almost every state now runs a gambling operation called the state lottery.
Right. But you can't.
But gambling's illegal.
Right, sure. Well, like you said, that's the hypocrisy.
No, it's absurd.
And on that note, the absurd. Gee, isn't that something that we point out every single episode?
It's true.
Pointing out the idiocy of the world, one idiot at a time.
One idiot at a time.
Well, from what I'm thinking, I'll be speaking to you guys soon.
And as long as we don't pay for it, we're okay with the government.
Okay. That's cool. Well, thank you, boys. Darling. It was, as always.
Yes.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Have a good night. We're out. Which stood on rocky shores and kept the beaches shipwreck free. Though I respect that a lot, I'd be fired if that were my job. After killing Jason off and countless screaming.